You're listening to Radio Primavera Sound, proudly presented by Cupra.
Ladies and gentlemen, you've been waiting for it. It's the Dare. Welcome.
Whoa, wow.
The people go crazy.
Hi.
Thank you for coming to the Radio Primavera Sound box. As you said, it's our little box in here live at Primavera Sound 2025. Harrison, how are you feeling?
I'm feeling pretty good. I'm just happy to be here. I love Barcelona. This is probably like one of the best festivals in the world, I think so.
And we're so happy you're playing. You're actually closing the first day of the best festival in the world.
Yeah, it's late, but I know for here it's not really.
It's not really, and it also makes so much sense because it's the Charlie Day. And Who else would close the Charlie Day than the Dare?
Of course.
What can we expect from your set? Maybe an appearance, maybe what? I don't know.
I don't know. I'm just going to try and, you know, it's like the final one of the night, just try and go as hard as possible. And, you know, if anybody wants to go there with me, then that would be great.
I get the
feeling. The majority of the people want to go there with you. Actually, they want it so much. They maybe will do it twice because you're also playing like in a few minutes at the Cupra Pool stage at 9, doing like your DJ set thing.
Yeah. Yeah.
So there's also that happening for those who are interested, so check that out. Will it be very different from your set? Well, it's a DJ set, so I guess it's just DJ.
But yeah, I mean, I still have the suit on, you know.
Important.
I'm going to be playing a bunch of unreleased songs at the DJ set and, you know, songs by friends and people I admire and all that.
What's the best unreleased song?
I don't know if I can reveal the titles. There is a song called Cheeky that's coming out, but I'm not playing that one actually. It's not as dancey.
Does Cheeky have the same connotations in American English as it does in British?
Yeah, I think it's just not as popular.
Right, you know? Right. Were you going for like a British edge or with that?
A little bit, yeah. There might be a lyric alluding to that in the song.
That people think you're British all the time, but you're actually, like, the thing that makes you there is being very New York, and people say, like, oh, yeah, he's very early 2000s New York. They also say Indies Liz a lot, which I don't know if you're tired by now hearing, like, yeah, whatever, Tiny Ties and Ravens, but yeah, Indies Liz. But I think, to me, when I think about the there, a very important part, which I don't hear a lot people saying, it's the humor of it all. It feels a bit like dry humor, a bit of like Nathan For You kind of a little bit, like, if you understand, you understand, and if not you can think it's very serious if you have this inside of you. Is this part of the idea, or is it just your personality coming through?
Yeah, I love to laugh, really, and a lot of my favorite lyric writers or songwriters in general are just funny, like Jarvis Cocker, obviously, Stephen Merritt from the Magnetic Fields, or like bands like Art Brut, who are underappreciated, I think, and are hilarious.
We formed a band.
Yeah, it's one of the best songs ever, but I just always like to make people laugh or make myself laugh when I'm writing a song, and sometimes it translates, sometimes it doesn't.
But it's also funny when people don't understand, and it's like they don't understand. To me, it's like this kind of repeating Nathan For You of it all. But speaking of your boom and being there and having all these people waiting for you, you had two breakout moments, and one of them being girls like going off crazy and being on Obama's summer playlist.
That was fake. That was fake.
I fall for it. But it could 1000% be in there because it was everywhere. And I was thinking, girls, New York, they're there. Have you seen Girls, the HBO show?
I have. I'm a huge fan.
Which girl are you?
Which girl? You know, I would like to think that I'm a Jessa, but, and maybe at night I am, but I feel like I'm really more of like a Marnie Shoshana hybrid.
To me, I think they're underrated. We have to like push forward the Marnie of it all and the Shoshana of it all, because everyone wants to be a Jessa, but you cannot be a Jessa all the time.
No.
Speaking of groups of friends, New York girls. I feel like there's a like a scene going on in New York, which you're part of. Also, like I saw a few of your TikToks with Kai Newman, who's also like DJing and also plays into this humor thing. Mm-hmm. Do you feel like it's a real thing? Like there's a scene of creative people coming together and becoming friends, and maybe they're not doing the same thing, but there's something going on and you're all friends, or is just from the outside it looks like this?
I don't know. I feel like I'm a part of a few different like groups of people. There's definitely like a music, there's all the music people from New York, and then there's like sort of like a New York and LA, like, you know, bi-coastal, if you will, group of people that isn't necessarily doing music like Kai or somebody, like he's like a comedian mostly, but also does this. I don't know. It's just sort of share like a bunch of people who share like a similar sensibility and are also into like sort of more extroverted like forms of art, basically. So I don't know, but love him.
It was so funny, like seeing like all these people who are actually connected and you wouldn't know otherwise, but it feels like we all want to be part of that friend group, but I'm just speaking.
So the question I have is not massively intellectual, but you howl a lot in your music.
Yeah.
How do you... What are the perfect ingredients for a good howl?
I don't know. I feel like I try a few different ones. Sometimes I like get out of my comfort zone, you know, but I've really just zeroed in on the sounds that feel really good to make over time after doing it a lot. But I'm hoping to expand the palette, you know, on upcoming releases, like longer screams, maybe even really short ones.
Nice. I want to ask, like, what have the last few years been like with you? I can't imagine how kind of strange and how much fun it's been the last few years.
Yeah, it's been really crazy. It's just like a lot of traveling, which I hadn't really done to this degree. And like just exploring the world, I guess, which has been crazy, stressful, and also very fun at times. Also, yeah, just sort of like even talking about the LA and New York thing, like meeting sort of like an international cast of characters and like having them in my back pocket is awesome. I don't know. it's all very surreal, you know. Sometimes like when I put on the suit and look in the mirror, I'm just like, what the hell is going on? You know what I mean?
But does it feel like when you put on the suit, you're like Superman and then there's Ken Clark? Like you have this difference, like, okay, now I'm there, I guess, when you're looking in the mirror. Like different personas.
So, I don't know. It's complicated, but sort of. Yeah, I mean, it definitely, when I put it on, especially like the full thing, you know, feels like something special is about to happen, you know, and usually there's a reason for it. I'm not just doing it for no reason.
I read other interviews by you, and you, in some of them you spoke about bad taste, and I was really interested in your take. And I also read a quote by John Waters that said, "I was raised in the tyranny of good taste. That's how I learned to rebel and have fun with bad taste, because you have to know the rules to break them." Do you feel a similar way to like what he said, or how do you relate to bad taste in that sense?
Yeah, I think like, oh man, it's distracting. There's so many people. yeah, I don't know. I mean, I think just, you know, having followed like a lot of popular and unpopular music for like basically my entire life, and, you know, watching things come in and out of fashion and watching people have like harsh reactions to things at first, and then over time it gets reassimilated and moved back into culture. Like, it's, I don't know if I have some sort of grand theory about it, but it's just like it sounds cliche, but the subjectivity of music is like very, very true. And it is always changing. Like, even at this point in time, most people that I talk to are like, Nickelback is actually a good band. and their songs are really well written. And, you know, 10 years ago, you would get shot for that or something, you know?
Where do you stand on that particular matter?
I don't listen to them personally, but I mean, unless somebody else is playing it. But the song, like some of the songs are just undeniably well-written pop songs. And I don't know. I think there are ulterior motives at the time that people were against Nickelback for, but whatever.
We have one last question, Mar.
Sorry, I'm taking over.
No, it's good. It's all good.
We have to do a second part because we have half of the interview to do. I want to know what's next for the Dare. I guess everyone wants to know. And I read one of your tweets that you said you wanted to write a musical. So maybe that's what's next for you. I would love that.
I don't know. I don't know about a musical. I'm not really
ready
for
it. You regret that tweet?
No. I do love musicals. I think I had just maybe watched like All That Jazz, which isn't really a musical, but it's one of my favorite movies. It's more of a dance film. But I don't know. I'm going to stick with making dance music for now, I think, or dance related music. But
there's new music coming.
Yeah, a bunch of new music.
Cheeky.
That one's already been announced. And then there's a couple other fun projects that I've been squirreling away that are going to come out either this year or early next year that I'm super excited about. So.
And we are also super excited about, and we want to go see you play now. So we
9 o'clock
release you the box.
9 o'clock DJing, 4:30 in the morning playing live. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much.
Signing off.
There.
Yeah.
You're listening to Radio Primavera Sound, proudly presented by Cupra.